You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. For the last 2 minutes of this hour, Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about a hypersexualized culture. It's really remarkable that you got to start protecting your kids, especially your little girls, earlier and earlier and earlier. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I understand there's been a recent addition to the Campbell family. Tell us about that.
That's right. My daughter, Clara, was born January 12th, 1-12-12, actually. So now I have two daughters and one son. And I have toddler twins, so they are getting used to having a little sister, and we're all happy to have our new little addition with us.
I understand that the addition, especially the second daughter, has made you mindful of what kind of a culture your daughters are going to grow up in.
I am. Obviously, now I've got scales tipped a bit toward girls in our family, two girls and one boy. But of course, these are things I've been thinking about for years, even before our first daughter was born. I think about them more and more now, though, of course. And that is just what messages girls are getting in our culture about what their value is and where they derive their value. And increasingly, the message they're getting from our pop culture, at least, which, of course, infiltrates every aspect of our culture, is that their value is primarily sexual, that of being an object of desire. And this begins very young. You know, we tend to think of this as a problem that's focused only on teenage girls or even tween girls, which is sort of this new marketing category that's sprung up in the last 20 years or so that's really, I think, very problematic in itself. But this really begins very young. I mean, I know when shopping for clothes for my baby girls, you know, I come across a lot of onesies with messages you'd never see on boys' clothes, things like little hottie and diva in training, these kinds of things. You know, we've seen that padded bras and pole dancing kits have marketed to girls as young as preschool. And, of course, we know the sexting craze among teen girls who are sending out pornographic pictures of themselves to their male classmates. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So there are all of these trends that are already in operation, but I think the most worrisome thing for parents, especially parents of young girls like myself, is that this is moving ever younger. It seems to be literally a matter of every year the target gets younger and younger, and these young, very young girls are learning practically from birth that their main job in life is to look pretty, to amass lots of stuff, and when the time comes to arouse sexual desire in men. And, you know, obviously that's not the basis of a human person's dignity, and that's not the message I want my daughters to get.
Tell us about this book that you've written about recently called Girl Land. What did you find therein?
Well, this was written by Caitlin Flanagan, who is a social critic, a frequent writer for The Atlantic magazine, and she was formerly a high school teacher. She tends to draw a lot of flack from feminists because she tends to say iconoclastic things, at least according to feminists, but her newest book is called Girl Land, and in it she investigates that sort of fraught period of female adolescence, that transition from girlhood to womanhood. She does this a lot of times by drawing on her memories of her own experience. It's not a statistical or scientific book by any means. It's much more probing the emotional experience of girls in this period. But she highlights a lot of these same dangers that I mentioned. Doing so not so much from the perspective of, you know, what's the very latest trend with girls that's troubling, but more this overarching concern that after the sexual revolution, a lot of what protected girls was taken away, including mostly the protective role of their parents and especially their fathers. And there really hasn't been anything put in place to sort of help them navigate this newly very liberated, if you like that term, sexuality that they have. Now, Flanagan and I would part ways on solutions to this. She tends to be very suspicious of chastity and abstinence as solutions for teenage girls grappling with, you know, pressure to engage in premarital sex. Obviously, as a Christian and as someone who believes very strongly in the importance of chastity, I would disagree with her there. But I do think she has some valuable insights and suggestions. And one of the main ones she has is the role that fathers need to take in the lives of their daughters. And she talks a lot about how fathers at around the adolescent age with their teenage girls, they tend to just withdraw. And actually, that's the time a girl needs her dad involved the most.
So if you were to supplement what Flanagan has to say in that book with some good advice pertaining to chastity and abstinence, what would it sound like, Colleen?
I think I would stress more than she does the importance of beginning very early with these messages, with countering the messages of the culture, not simply policing your daughter, sheltering your daughter, important as it is to keep, for instance, keep her away from, you know, complete access to the Internet with no filters or watching too much TV and all of that, but also to instill a strong, strict moral code in her that's going to help her navigate, the terrain that she's going to come across as a teenage girl. And again, I think that has to begin early, and I think we have to look extremely early, even at very young girls who kind of get caught up in the whole girly girl princess culture, and make sure that the message they're getting is that while femininity is a beautiful thing, it's something to celebrate, it's great to dress up and play princess and all the rest of it, your main value in life is not how you look, because as soon as we impart that lesson to our girls, but it's how you look and what you wear and how fashionable you are. Even if it seems harmless when they're 5, when they're 15, that perspective is going to have them doing things they don't want to be doing, shouldn't be doing, and really sacrificing their own innocence and dignity at the altar of a culture that tells them that how they look and who they appear desirable to is more important than who they are as individuals and as children and daughters of God. So, we have to send very different messages, and I guess my emphasis would be on the importance of doing so at a very young age and not waiting till these girls are teenagers and confronted with, you know, sexting and all the rest of those pressures to help them understand the moral framework out of which they should be making decisions about their sexuality.
You're also raising a son, too. So how does this perspective on the hypersexualized culture change the way you think we ought to be raising our sons, with about a minute and a half?
Well, again, I think it's important, as it always has been, not to instill that double standard. I think girls have to be aware of the fact that there are more dangers to them in this hypersexualized culture, and they are more vulnerable, whether they like it or not. That's just a biological fact. When there is, you know, rampant aggressive sexuality, you know, date rape, all the rest of it. But I think it's important that we raise boys and young men who understand the dignity of women and the dignity of the human person, their own dignity, and understand that the same moral rules we apply to girls apply to them. It's not okay for boys to be boys, as they say, in a negative sense in terms of aggressive sexuality, while girls have to shoulder the entire burden of chastity themselves. I mean, these boys and young men who often are winked at for pretty poor behavior are going to someday grow up to be someone's husband, someone's father. So I think we need to be teaching boys as well, not simply to respect women, but to respect themselves, and that chastity is not something just for girls, neither is modesty. And that's true especially with what boys are looking at on the Internet, the pornography, all the rest of it, that we really need to protect them as well. They, too, deserve their innocence and their childhood and deserve to have that unsullied by a culture that unfortunately is bent on making both them and their sisters grow up way too soon.
Real quick, with about 30 seconds, do you hear any strong reaction from feminist camps to the hypersexualized culture?
I don't hear nearly enough reaction. I know to this Flanagan book there was a lot of guffawing at her suggestion that parents keep the Internet out of their daughters' bedrooms. A lot of the feminists who critiqued her thought it was hilarious that she thought fathers should intimidate their daughters' boyfriends if the boyfriends looked a little bit nefarious. So they seem to think this stuff is retrograde and patronizing. But unfortunately, I don't hear a lot of great solutions coming out of establishment feminism for these kinds of problems. And I think that's because if your main goal is total sexual liberation, you know, sexuality free-ranging without any restraint, it's very difficult to backtrack and say, well, Now, I didn't exactly mean for that applied to my 12-year-old daughter. So there are feminists voicing concerns about this, but the concerns are always more muted than I think they should be. They tend to be more muted because I think there's always that conflict of not wanting to embrace moral absolutes and chastity and the rest of it for fear of moving backward in their eyes, when actually I think from the perspective of young girls, there's nothing backward at all about having your dignity and your innocence defended. And I wish more feminists would speak up on that point.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Some of the biggest issues that face the church at the congregational level nowadays, I think always, have to do with accountability. Who does the pastor answer to? The pastor, of course, first and foremost, answers to the Word of God. But in the congregation, is there a group of men that is able to hold him accountable to that Word? And what else should be given to laymen in the congregation to do with respect to, well, holding the pastor accountable and caring for the pastor as well? The New Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastor and Elders, is a great answer to those kind of questions and more. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. It is a good practical guide and instruction in accountability in the church and caring for your pastor and the pastor caring for his lay people. You can find out more about Pastors and Elders at our website, issuesetc.org, or call and order it from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about Jacob the Patriarch. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.